Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bouchard.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking at you from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me, as usual, is my co-host, Anna Knox.
Greetings from Centerville, Virginia.
And we would like to welcome one and all. All Caps fans from the Commonwealth of Virginia, the state of Maryland, and the District of Columbia, as well as all Caps fans around the globe. Thanks for listening once again for another week. And, yeah, Caps are doing well. Once again, riding a solid streak of games here. Lost one or two along the way, but doing fairly well. Despite that, though, I think we're going to... When I say we, I mean me. I'm going to present a slightly pissed off version of the show because there are some things that have come up that have exactly done that, pissed me off. Hopefully...
Feisty girls coming
maybe
out.
So hopefully Anna's in a nice sunshiny mood to counterbalance that, would you say?
I always am. Ray of sunshine.
All right, well, let's get into it. Well, when we left you last, the Caps were headed for a series of games. They were ending their homestand, and so the next game they were going to play was against the Colorado Avalanche, and they got a bit of revenge, played very well in that game, won that one 5-2. Not going to recap that one. With a fine-tooth comb. Vrana opened the scoring. Brett Connolly got what proved to be the game winner at the beginning of the third. Others that scored were Matt Niskanen, John Carlson, and Devontae Smith-Pelly with the empty net goal to seal the deal. Mm-hmm. So got that one in the old rear view. Next game after that was... probably the best I would think that they've played in recent memory within the last five. And yes, that was against the Boston Bruins up in the Gat.
No.
Up in the Garden.
No. No.
It's called something else?
It's just not okay for you to do an accent. No. No, I'm married into a New England family, and I will support them. No, it's just the Boston Bruins. Just let it go with that. Nothing else. Moving forward.
And I thought I was pissed off.
Right? No. We talked about things that can get under my skin. Random little things. That would be one of them.
So they didn't play in the garden?
Oh, my. I'm going to leave the show.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm kidding. As long as... Okay, gosh.
Sit your sweet self down and relax.
Yeah, I'm all good. And as long as we don't start using some sort of French accent when we're talking about Marchand or any of those guys, we're good. This will be a great show. Now, you've had your one cheesy, impression for the night, accent for the night, and that's it.
Okay.
You're done.
Anyway.
One and done.
So, Vrana opens the scoring again with a timely assist from Matt Niskanen. And
who's looking really well.
Yes, yes, got to say, Vrana's playing very well. Looks like he definitely belongs on that second line.
Oh, no, I was talking about Niskanen, but just because Vrana for me is a given, because I think he's just going to be awesome, continue to be awesome.
Oh, yes, definitely. I will agree with that one.
So Niskanen, yeah, so I'm sorry, so I cut you off, but
that,
yes.
That's
so
fine. So, yes, he opened the scoring, and then they tied it, the Bruins did, and then Backstrom comes back with yet another goal. After a dry spell, and the guys at the Sports on the Hill podcast kind of went over this game, so I'm kind of borrowing from them. Hopefully they won't mind too much. Hey, Robbie and Carol, hope you're listening. Hope everything's fine with you guys. We'll mention more about them in a little bit here. Speaking of Mr. French accent, Mr. Alex Chiasson. Pumped in two goals at the start, in the middle of the third period.
Yeah, and they're like back to back and impressive, and you know what? Good for him. I know I gave him a ton of crap for terrible interviewing, but that doesn't have anything to do with his game. I think he's He's coming out of a shell a little bit. I don't know if I'm 100% his hugest fan yet. Hugest. How about biggest? But it was impressive. Good for him. Two goals.
Yep, and which would be his fifth and sixth of the year. One of them, the second one being a shorthanded goal. Always love seeing those. And that more or less put the game out of reach. Captain finishes it off with an empty netter with about a minute and a half to play. Yep.
Which was awesome.
Niskanen with another assist on that one. A lot of folks are making a big deal about we got their number. We won, 11 out of the last 12 or something it was. I mean, yeah. But,
right.
I mean, which is nice, but I didn't. You never should go into a game expecting to win. I think the Caps approached that game with just the right attitude. Last time we were on Sports on the Hill, I think I said, pretty sure I said it was going to be a tough game, and it was at times. And yeah,
I agree. Well, I mean, you have what, two goals? Didn't Marchand? Did he do two goals from Bruins? I can remember. Bergeron.
Yes, Bergeron got their first and last goals.
Yeah. So they, they didn't stop. They gave it all. They didn't, toss in the towel
this
or
was
anything
not,
like that. I felt like
they gave it
a good.
Yeah, this was by no means an easy game at all, and it never is against the Bruins. Now we're going to go into something that happened during this game a little bit later on, but back to the recap. So that was a good win, and I'm looking at the schedule here, and so they played Call Boss, and on Saturday, did you get your own team? It says Anna.
It doesn't. It says Anna because it only has one.
Oh, okay.
Zing.
Okay. Anyway,
that was good though.
So, all right. So they played that team on Saturday. Wow, this was something of a tough game to watch. What did you think?
And I think, honestly, I feel like when we were talking to Carol and Robbie about this game, I had gone to the Ducks-Caps game for my birthday last year with my brother. And I remember thinking, it was going to be, it would be a phenomenal game to watch because we were doing so well and on and on. And it wasn't. It wasn't a pretty game. I feel like it was really, really, really close. I think we won. It might have been like 5-4, whatever it was. And so I kind of went into this thinking kind of that same mindset I had from the year before. And, sure enough, we're down 2, score 2, which is great. But then we got to go into overtime. And some people like overtime and whatever. I just think about how exhausted the players are, and they've got to just be so done, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And so you get Ovechkin in there, and he does what he does. So I was about the Ducks game. I was more, I think, more animated and more pumped up about the Bruins than I was about the Ducks.
Well, I didn't know what to expect with that game because they had they being the Ducks played okay enough to kind of keep pace despite being ravaged by injuries so far this year. As we taking
right.
a glance at the standings, I mean they're not doing great, but they're definitely within striking distance of a playoff spot. Despite all that, so I think I said on last week's show I don't know what to expect out of them because they fielded basically an AHL roster, but they're still playing okay. And
well, they held their own. They were up two, and before we scored, so you know we got to give a little acknowledgement to that with all the injuries. And but I feel the same way. It was a team. I just didn't know how we were to go into it. And that's exactly how it was last year at the Verizon Center. It was, you know, up, down. And I can't remember. I feel like it came down to like an Oshie, I don't know, OT. It was something. But it was very, very close. And I think people were just not expecting the Ducks to, you know, to challenge the Caps that well, and they did last year, and then they brought an A game this year, this last week. So, they're just a team. I don't forget about them, but I don't always put them in my top. You know, I don't put them with the Predators or the Penguins or you know. Rangers or you know those kinds of the Ducks don't seem they're not really on my radar.
No, I can understand that a lot of West Coast teams tend to fall into that crack, unfortunately, because the majority of their games are you know you don't see the result until it's long after it's happened. But it's just an example of what they have to work with. Their first goal was scored by a guy named Danny Grant. I'd never heard of this guy before this year. You know, he's just one of the slew of players they've had to call up because of all the injuries. And then they got the second goal, which, I mean, that I don't know. That thing looked really awkward. Holtby tried to play it. He had his leg stretched out, and it hit his leg and then hit the post or something like that. It's odd
yeah,
looking
it was,
goal.
It was definitely... Yeah, not one. And you can tell, like, with his facial expression afterwards, it was like a, what the, just happened, you know, like, you know, wait. And, of course, you know, we're watching and, you know, in a replay, but you would imagine how fast it went down for him. But his facial expression was pretty, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, not pretty. Yeah,
I
not,
agree.
Didn't like how that one turned out. That one... put them up 2-0, scored by their own version of Jakob Silverberg. Silverberg, it's Christmas time in the city. Yes.
No.
It is. We're a week away.
You're hitting all these puns
yeah,
tonight.
Yeah, I am. Told you, I'm in a pissed
okay.
off mood. Well, we'll get to the
all
bad
right.
stuff.
You know, I'm only going to let it go because 'tis the season. But other
well,
than
it
that,
it's freezing outside.
It's not. Oh my god, it was 60 degrees today. It was gorgeous. I drove home from lunch, windows down, rocking out to my 80s alternative in the truck.
Well,
and
before,
it was awesome.
Before
so no,
today,
freezing.
It was freaking freezing. Today, I hope that weather stays around. For a while.
It's not,
no,
but
it
that's
won't.
Okay.
It's Delmarva. I mean, it never does. But anyway.
Okay, so are you going to talk about the Ovechkin
OT
goal?
Oh, of course. Best for last. And
oh, okay.
So this is, and I don't know. I don't know if I can improve on how I was listening to. Unfortunately, I couldn't listen to it live last night, but I was re-listening to the cap segment, the hockey segment from Sports on the Hill earlier today, and I don't think I can do a better job than what Robbie and Carol did describing it. And basically, Carol was saying, "Hey, look, you know, this is just the latest example of how this man, even after 10 years and all the wear and tear, he can be and still is one of the most dominant players in the league and gets it done when it counts the most." And Robbie was saying that he was, it was a brilliant play. Basically, I'm paraphrasing again, but basically Robbie was saying, yeah, he pretty much took the setup and held on to the puck long enough to get his line mates off for a change, and then carried it into the zone himself, and then just on his off wing just blasted one so hard that the goalie, Gibson, just couldn't react to it properly.
Right. Oh, it was and a bullet.
It picked that corner so well, and it was game over, just like you'd expect him to do. And it was absolutely a thrilling thing to see. And it's like Carol said, he's still getting it done after all these years, and there's no reason to doubt that he still doesn't have that in him. And they also made mention that I think that this year, and that this recent one just adds to his total, but this year Ovechkin became the leader in overall regular season overtime goal scoring for all
Correct.
Time. So this just adds to that. So
he's amazing, and I'm glad that I, you know, was able to break away from the negativity that some of the fans had about, you know, trade him, he's old, he's this, he's that. No way. This guy has been amazing to watch. And he just, I think one of our very first shows, we went back to how he got, you know, he got married, and he looked, and then, I don't know, he looked like he had lost, what, like 20 pounds or something, like, you know, over the when they had their time off and stuff, and something just changed with him. And I think it's just awesome to see these things. The interview I read about today was, they talked to him about this goal, and he says like two or three times, "I was just so tired." And I thought, you know what, there you go. That's like an athlete to an athlete. You admire nothing more than someone who is not giving 110% all the way through. And then you got to, you know, then you got overtime, and here he is, he stepped up, and he just, I mean, of course, yeah, they want to win, and he wants to score, but here he is admitting like he is physically exhausted, and he still did it. And the look on his face was awesome. And, you know, good for him. I'm just so stoked he's on our team. So I loved it.
There's no doubt. He is, without a doubt, belongs up there with the DC legends. This is a hockey
True.
Show, so I'm not going to compare him to other sports, but without a doubt, absolutely the greatest of all time as far as those who have put on the colors of a Washington Capitals uniform. No questioning that now or ever. I think. And just the latest example of what he can do. And might I add, showing some leadership, just making sure that his teammates were spelled at the right time. I don't know if it was his intent to shoot and score as so much as, you know, at least rag the puck for a while and give his mates a break. But still, result. That's what he got. So,
great.
That was the most recent game they played. Tonight, they get back in action Face off 8:30 p.m. in Big D, home of a lot of my extended family.
Do they actually call it the Big D?
Some
it
do.
Seems a little.
I think the locals call it DFW because it's Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, so there's big difference between that and the Big D.
Well, anyway, a lot of folks I'm related to live out there. I got a little friendly rivalry with some of my cousins out there. I want to give a shout-out to them. Big O, I love you, man, but I hope you guys lose tonight. I don't want to admit this, but they seem to have our number a bit.
Yeah, I think this is going to be it's going to be fun game to watch, but it's going to be tough because wasn't it just, I want to say last week, didn't Tyler Seguin just get like a hat trick and he's having a great season and he's just one to watch out
definitely.
For. So, but we have Oshie back in our lineup.
Yep, and that's a little bit of news a news item here. TJ Oshie cleared to play. He had been in non-contact drills recently. So he's making his return to the lineup tonight. In fact, let me do a little bit of checking here, but what I heard on Sports on the Hill podcast last night was that because of that, Devontae Smith-Pelly, unfortunately, is now the odd man out. Which I don't know if I agree with, but that's not one of the things I'm pissed off about. Yes, so that's so everything I'm seeing is yes, he's now back on the second line, which bumps everybody back down. And DSP is unfortunately the guy who's the odd man out. But that'll be fine. I think a little bit more line juggling is in order here, but we'll see how the road trip shakes out. So, why am I so pissed off? Well, couple
tell
things.
Tell us, Gil.
Yeah. First of all, I mentioned a show we've been had the pleasure of being associated with. That's Sports on the Hill. Well, I don't know what the hell happened or who caused it or why, but. Unfortunately, my man CP3 was forced to go live. They're a live show. They air Monday evenings at 7, normally through Facebook Live. My man CP3 had to go on Twitter Live because some a-hole took it upon himself or herself, we don't know who it was, to put some sort of complaint or I don't know what they did. But Carol ended up getting a nasty gram from Facebook, said, you have posted content that is offensive and goes against our policy, so we're blocking you, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, what I've listened to the show. What possibly, unless you are not a fan of one of the teams in the D.C. area, what possibly could they have said or done?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't get it. It makes...
I think we're just in... Whatever it is going on lately, and I think one of Carol's words was that people are butthurt. Yeah, people are getting a little too sensitive about things. Again, if you don't like it, if you're not a fan...
Don't listen to it.
There's a very, very simple solution. So I don't think that there was anything, and I don't know necessarily. It didn't have to do with their Monday night show. I think it was the Sunday feed from the Skins game. But either way, you've got a passionate, knowledgeable podcaster that's talking about the Redskins, which is a big deal in our area. And, you know, so who could, like, people complaining, like, could get a freaking life. So Carol, I'm sorry, but you know what? He was so cool about it. He was like, you know, it is what it is. He was pissed and he should have been. But there were so many people that came forward and gave encouraging remarks. So that was good. But yeah, so I watched Robbie last night. I could hear Carol chime in on just the call. So yeah, but that's just people too sensitive. Snowflakes.
Yeah, I heard about that and I was like, what? I mean, it was just so confusing, and it's just too bad that people feel the need to complain to that level.
Well, to complain hide.
And hide behind convenient anonymity of the internet and do what it is they do. God, just...
So wait till next week. I mean, imagine how many people are going to complain about our show.
we'll
see how it goes.
We'll see. But the other thing and this is kind of if this makes any sense. One other item that prominently features Sports on the Hill, the folks at that show, that I'm kind of happily pissed off. Well, okay, so there, I don't like it, and it divides hockey fans, but there just seems to be this pervasive opinion that unless you live in the northeastern U.S. or above the 49th parallel, which is the Canadian border, you don't know jack about hockey, and you certainly don't know jack about the NHL. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that ain't true. That crap ain't true. And Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III are two gentlemen who are living proof of that. Carol took, I don't know who it was, I don't know, somebody in the media or a fan, but he said there were comments from the Boston side of things that said, okay, so apparently there was an altercation sometime in the Bruins game, and they were complaining that Tom Wilson basically should have been called for a third man in penalty, which is a real thing. If you are the third man in an altercation, that's an automatic ejection. That's been on the books for, golly, I think 40 years now.
Did you just say golly?
Yeah.
Gil, you can't like preface the show with like being pissed off and then be like, golly. Come on. All right, moving on, because you've piqued my interest with my boy Tommy.
Who's really pissed off among either of us tonight? What's going on here?
I'm good.
What? You sure?
I'm good.
You
I'm sure? good. I'm okay. So good. So good.
Huevos Rancheros not backing up on you?
Now that we're talking about my boy Tommy, I've got to
woke you
really
up with that, did I?
Focus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, there was, I don't know, I forget who it involved, but Tom Wilson interjected to, you know, and stood up for his teammate, which is what he does. And there were complaints, how come he didn't get the third man in penalty? He should have had his ass thrown in the box. Was that better? Did you like that?
I was almost like, hell, fuck yeah, go Tom.
You like when I mentioned Tom Wilson and ass in the same sentence?
Yeah, there's something about number 43. But anyways, yes.
Thought you'd like that.
A little bit of drool. Like
anyway.
Continue.
And Carol correctly pointed out that, no, it was not an altercation, because if you look at the box score, no fight was documented. No fighting majors were handed out at the time, because the official call against... Oh, okay, so it was Dmitry Orlov and Brad Marchand, mm-hmm. who were in the nose face killer. Marchand started something with Orlov, and he was trying his best to hold his own, and then Wilson comes in and handles it, And Orlov and Marchand were only called for cross-checking minors. So officially, there was no fight, and therefore there was no third man in. Okay? So boo-hoo Boston fans, again, you don't know Jack. So that dispels that. And the other thing, I mean, I've already mentioned it, but like I said, Robbie, it was actually Bernie Deal who chimed in with some comments on the show and put in a description of what Ovi did on his goal. The both of them described it perfectly, almost to a T, exactly, you know, what had happened. He was on his off wing, he waved off his teammates, and fired his shot. And I think because he was on the right wing as opposed to his usual left wing position, I think it crossed up the goalie a little bit. But anyway, they described it, I mean, absolutely perfectly what had happened on that play. So the moral of this story is, if anybody thinks that fans of the Washington Capitals don't know about hockey or this team or how the game is supposed to be played, then you are full of shitty hockey.
Look at you. I'm having a proud moment
you
here.
You know I'm going to bleep that out later.
Don't go vanilla, but okay.
Ice, baby.
I know. No. God. Gil.
Anyway, so that's
what
my...
What else is on the...
That's
on
my...
The
agree. That's my little rant.
That's all right. It's all right. You go have your moment.
Well, there's a little more than that, and we'll segue into our next and final topic. And that is a graphic that among Caps fans... has gone a bit viral. And I first saw this, I want to give a credit where credit is due. I first saw this courtesy of one of our admins over at the True Caps Fans Facebook community room, Christian Levesque. He posted this not long after the win against Anaheim.
Right.
There was a graphic that basically said, hey, look, and it lined up all of the it. I mean, everybody. I'm sure you've seen it by now. But it divided. The graphic was divided into two sections. The top section was called the Goners, and it listed the faces of. Let's see. It was Marcus Johansson, Justin Williams, Nate Schmidt, Carl Schattenkirk. Kevin Schattenkirk, and I think that was pretty much it.
I feel like we are too, but
yeah. So it was those guys who have long since left the team as a result of last off season, and they
right.
So they lined them up on the top section of the graphic, and the bottom section of the graphic were the newcomers as they were put, and it was Devontae Smith.
No, they were the
right. That's right. The replacements, and it was Devontae Smith-Pelly, Jakov. I don't know how to say his first name.
Just call
Nobody
him Frana.
Knows how to say his first name? Not even Alan May.
Don't you be throwing Alan
I'm
May
not throwing
under,
him
the
under the
bus?
Come
on,
I'm
like
just saying
guy.
He doesn't know how. I don't know how to say his first name. I just as long as he scores, I do. Call him. Oh, Hieronymus, I don't know. Make up a name. I don't care.
He's Jakob.
Okay.
Brana.
Rhymes with Anna. So. How convenient. Anyway, so they had him, Smith-Pelly, and
Matt Bowie.
Yep, on there. Christian Juice, also another of the newcomers. Thinking there should be one more. Alex Chason.
Sorry.
New to the team as
well.
He's new to the team as well. So what they did was they totaled up all of the goals just the goals that those aforementioned players have scored and added them up. So goners versus replacements, and the replacements scored several more goals than the quote-unquote goners have, and they also lined up the graphic of how much the total combined groups are being paid. And the goners are being paid like 3-4 times more. So the whole graphic was called Bang for the Buck. And
more than that, because you're looking at 26.5 for the goners and 4.2 for the replacements.
Well, look at you with the stats and the numbers and the
Right? Nerd out for a minute.
Great.
But yeah.
So fill in the details there. That's my co-host, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
I'm here all night.
So you on the raw data alone, you got to think, well, hey, this team isn't half bad. And as if you needed any more proof, the Capitals were actually in... Well, they were sitting alone in first place for about a minute, which is about how long 8-track tapes were popular, if I recall. Yes, I'm that old. But they're still actually in a virtual tie for first place as we look at the standings. Not going to go over them now, but they're in a tie. They have the same amount of points as the New Jersey Devils going into tonight's action. The Devils have one game in hand, and I think they have... Oh, wow. They actually have two less regulation overtime wins. So I'm not quite sure, unless there was a head-to-head matchup I'm missing. I'm guessing the site is basing the fact that New Jersey has a game in hand is why they're giving them the edge. But no matter. Obviously... That there was a time where no one was sure where this team was finished, and look at them fighting for not just a playoff spot, but for the division lead as well. So everybody who was ringing the panic buzzer earlier, where are you now, as the song goes? Can we give a little praise to this team now and the way it's coming together?
Well, okay. So the graphic. We're going to go back to the graphic because I don't know how I feel about it. It would have been different had they posted the graphic and said, okay, these were former players. Goners, it sounds quite juvenile in my opinion. Kind of like it's a dig. None of the people that left on the team were, you know... disliked or leaving on bad terms. Everyone was, you know, truly appreciated, and we were bummed when they left. But goners, it's like, come on. So I don't agree with the terminology, but you also are not dealing with players that have left in a certain position and were quote-unquote replaced by, you know, newbies, more or less. In the same position, you're kind of dealing with, if you look at who the players are, it doesn't match up. So I don't think it's fair to compare a forward and a defenseman and goals and whatever. That's not how it goes. So there was a part of that that irked me. I didn't like the terminology. I didn't think it was necessary to, I don't know. I don't really understand the point of the graphic. If you've been supporting the team, then you know how well these guys are doing, and they are the newbies on the team. So, but calling them replacements to me is kind of a dig. I don't agree with it, but I don't. But it's apples and oranges, is what I think Russian Marine Machine had mentioned, and I was like, you know what? I see that. It's not apples to apples, apples to oranges. You've got too many different. Positions, and you can't compare that. So I don't really know what the point of the graphic was. I didn't. If you looked at it as is, you were just like, "Whoa, 26.5." Well, and that's the first thing that stood out in my mind was like, "Look at the money difference, the salary difference," and then you're looking at the goals like 18 and 25. Okay. But it's not really a fair comparison.
Well, okay, so I'll give you the second part of the argument, which is that it's not quite apples to apples here, because for one thing, you have three defensemen in the first group, the Goners, versus two
right.
In the replacements group. So that right there by itself is going to offset everything in my mind,
yeah.
Because defensemen don't normally score goals. But then again, I mean, if you look at it a different way, if there's three defensemen in the group that is getting more money, shouldn't they be the ones putting the puck in the net more? I mean, I'm just saying though. And but you got one guy who by himself in the quote unquote replacements group, who by himself has already hit double digits this year. I don't think anybody.
Right. So you have exactly. So you have Vrana. Out of the 25 goals, he scored 10.
Right. So that's kind of, you could say. I mean, you can say that's kind of skewed things a bit. And
right.
Also the fact that in the quote unquote replacements group, you have essentially three rookies.
Newbies.
I mean, I don't know if Juice still counts as one, even though he played last year. I think the minimum is like 25 games in whatever previous season. But,
right.
He's relatively new. This is Vrana's first full year. I think he got into right. like a half a dozen games last year. This is definitely Madison Bowie's first game.
Bowie,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, that's one, yet another part of it that can skew the data a little bit, but I mean,
absolutely.
I thought this made perfect sense though. I'm a big surprise here. I'm going to take the opposite point of view, other than those caveats I just threw out. Okay, if you look at it like I said on the raw data. Okay, what matters at the end of the day? Goals. Can you put the puck in the net? That's what matters
right.
at the end of the day. So you've got the replacements group that is getting it done with 25, and you've got this other group of people that used to play for...
Former
used
players.
Used to play,
of,
which
yeah.
RMNB, I love you guys, but man, you guys have a lot of love for people that don't wear red, white, and blue anymore. And I'll just leave it at that. But, I mean, they're not... Okay, so they got 10 goals amongst them? Yeah, I mean...
Who? No, they have 18 goals.
Or was it 18 goals?
18 goals for the former Caps
for the Goners.
25 goals. I'm going to call them formers. 25 goals for the newbies, and 10 of those of the 25 are Vrana.
Okay, so you sure it's 18 to 25? It seemed a little more than that.
Yes.
When I first saw it.
No, 18 goals at 26.5, and 25 goals at 4.2.
Okay, so the big thing to focus on is the amount of money being paid out.
Right, which if you're looking at the situation, you're looking at, if you were to just look at the graphic alone and say, oh my gosh, what the hell are they paying these guys like so much money and this and that. But when you're coming in your first year of the NHL, you're not going to be making the two-digit million-dollar contracts.
Not unless your name rhymes with Connor McDavid. Am I right?
No,
am I right I or just, am I right?
Yeah.
You're not exactly. You're not going to make that kind of money in your first year.
Right.
I get that.
Okay, I see
I
what
get
you're
that.
Saying.
But again.
So the money thing cannot be.
Well,
comparison.
I'm sorry, but I think it is. I think it is. Again, if you just focus on the raw data, goals to money, and the graphic is called Bang for the Buck. Okay? You got five players versus five players. Okay? Regardless of position, yeah, I get that the data can be skewed and interpreted in different ways. But again, you got five guys who used to play, no longer do. and you see their output and what they're getting paid versus five guys that we've got now and their output and what they're getting paid.
Right. But what they're getting paid at their first year is on the lower end because of who we kept. Look at the 7-year contract we have for Oshie. We have a Kuzi. We have an Ovechkin. We have a whole – I mean, we have so much money going into those players.
Right, but you're – I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're adding fuel to my fire here. We're paying those guys a lot of money. And so if we're getting all this other support from these other guys that are new to the team and not paying them so much, aren't we getting the bang for the buck? Okay,
yes.
And is that not what the graphic is called?
Yeah,
but nothing. Then it's right. Then it's simple. It's simple math. Come on. If you're paying a guy to, I don't know, chop wood, chop down trees for $10 an hour, and he does enough to, he or she fills enough to fill out, I don't know, 10 trucks worth of wood, okay? And then you have another person who comes along, they can do it faster, they can get it done, not only faster, but has more output, and $8 an hour is good enough for them. You're an employer, who are you going to go with? Who are you going to hire? Right? I mean, look, I get...
That's not how I'm looking. I totally don't agree with you on this.
Well, I get that you don't, but... And I think I'm pointing out a flaw in the line of thinking.
But you're saying, if you look at the graphic as is, it makes total and complete sense that we're getting more bang for our buck because we've got 25 goals at 4.2 versus 18 goals at 26.5. I totally get that. However, you are comparing different positions. You're comparing the amount of, I mean, Justin Williams has been playing for a long time. You cannot compare him to Jacob Bronner.
Why not?
You can't. Because you have a newbie playing in the NHL at 21 for his first year versus Justin Williams, who's been playing for a hell of a lot longer and has been in the cup and everything else. And so he has earned his salary because he's been in the NHL for a while. You cannot pay newbie players coming in this ridiculous amount of money.
No,
not their first year.
But that doesn't prevent them from putting out what they ought to. Okay, 10 goals. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. 10 goals after 20 odd games in your first full year. That's pretty damn good. Okay.
Of course it is, but you know all that's doing, to, in my opinion, if you're a coach or if you're a GM or whatever, is you're looking at it and saying, hell yeah. This kid, out of what we played, 30-something games, he's played 10. He's played 20. He's scored 10 goals. He's making an impression on the GM and the coach to then, when next year comes around, they sign him with a longer contract with more money. That's what that is. So that's why I don't agree with you on the graphic.
I don't
get
your line of thinking there. So he plays his way into a bigger contract. Therefore, that the statistics don't make any sense. I don't understand that.
No, what I'm trying to say is that he is a new NHL player. This is his first year. They're not going to give him some $7 million, $20 million contract, whatever it is. It's something that has to be earned. You have to score the points. You have to be consistent.
Right.
You have to have chemistry
team. I get what you're saying. Okay, so let me give you the flip side of that argument. So like you said, Justin Williams has been in the league a long time, proven himself over and over and over again. So he's already at that level. as far as salary. Shouldn't he be at the same level as far as output? He's obviously not. So why? Why is that?
Because he's older and because these new kids that are coming up are just that. They're kids and they're quick and their skill level is
okay,
sick.
But that's not...
So there's a...
But that's so there's just, a rookie.
But that's just a year.
There's a rookie salary cap. Is that their fault? That's not Vrana's fault that there's a rookie salary cap.
But it's known. You're coming into the when they're playing at Hershey, they're not getting paid. And you bump them up and say, "Oh, hey, listen, you know what? We're going to put you in for a couple of games." Totally different. They start making money. They start signing contracts for, you know, the, what, $600,000 or whatever. That's a lot of money to these kids. Kids, you know, young men. They have to earn the big money contracts. So, no, I don't think that they should be getting – we should not be signing somebody who's, you know, 19 years old and giving them this huge, insane contract. Justin Williams earned it. Is he not doing what he did – when he first started playing? Maybe not. Could be an off season. It happens. This kid is, you know what, 10 years younger, quick as all hell, and he is earning his way into signing a longer contract and getting more money. But I personally don't think it has anything to do with money.
Well, it has everything. It has everything to do with money. That was the point of the graphic. It has everything to do with money. It's called bang for the buck. Output versus pay. That was the point.
Right.
Well, okay, so we're running out of time. Obviously, we're getting nowhere with this. I'll close the point with this. I mean, the thing says bang for the buck. I mean, yes, you've got a bunch of guys.
You're fixated on the title.
Because that's what it is.
I didn't say I didn't agree with you. I didn't say that are we getting more bang for our buck? Yes. Why are we getting it? Because they're newbie players.
Devontae
Smith-Pelly's
not a newbie. He's got 5-6 goals.
Right, but he's not
making...
Devontae
Smith-Pelly's been in the league at least 3-4 years now. He's not new.
I know, but the other ones are. Smith Pelly's on that list. Why? Because he came from the Ducks, and they're just saying that he's new to the Caps. The rest of the guys are newbies. Madison Bowie, Vrana. I mean, come on. So they're going to start at a lower salary rate, and they're kicking ass doing what they're doing.
So if you take away,
so yes, we're getting
Let me ask you this: if you take away DSP from that list and recategorize the remaining four players as, oh, I don't know what you call them, rookies or newbies or whatever. By the way, I find newbies insulting because in my line of work, that's what you call somebody that you just hire and pulled off the street to sit at a computer and pretend like...
Fine. Rookies.
But
call
anyway,
rookies.
So that might be more accurate. I'm not the one making this graphic. I'm just saying, I'm looking at it and saying, hell yes, that's right. That is right to me. And look, I am no... And this is the last thing I'm going to say about this. I am no big fan of general manager Ryan McClellan. I think there's been some missteps, obviously.
Right, I don't like him either.
I mean, when you look at the fact that this team has been up against the salary cap ceiling for forever ever since the end of last season, and what they're getting now, you have to give it the due. You have to give them the due. And that's I'll close with that.
Okay.
And so I get another dust up that ends in agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I thought I was pissed off. Good Lord.
You asked for it.
I guess I did. Anyway, Okay, so want to talk about, well, one admin thing again, but we'll get to that in a second here. Just want to give a shout out to my good friend Pete Fisher, and I've talked about him before. He lives out in Arizona. He's an ASU alum, lives out there, does architectural work, and he told me that he is going on a bit of a road trip, and it has to do with the Caps schedule now. Obviously, they're out west, and so the next three games, Dallas tonight, and then this coming Friday is the Coyotes, puck drop 9 p.m. Out in Glendale at the Gila River Arena, and then it's another back to back, and Saturday night Vegas baby, and so 8 o'clock puck drop at the T-Mobile Arena out there, and Pete told me he is going to both games, and he will be representing, and so give him a mention because of that, and that's totally awesome that he gets to go to both of those places and root for the Caps, and that is totally awesome. So just
that is so that just dropped my bitchy mood from before. I'm excited for your friend. Good for him.
Absolutely.
Super excited.
All right.
All good.
So and then comes the Christmas break. So no games until next Wednesday, which is the Rangers at Madison Square Garden. Then it's that team from Massachusetts that I'm not allowed to say, but it's we're not playing at the place.
Garden.
Yeah. They're actually coming here.
Beantown.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking up at Mrs. Blue Liner for a stern look. I'm not getting one yet. Okay, so that stands.
She would
support me. Yes, I know. We've talked about that.
No, I don't know. Okay. So I'm like, virtually high-fiving her because,
And then they round out the week, the year. That's the last game of 2017 is that Saturday against the Devils at Capital One, 7 o'clock puck drop, and then they're off for the holiday again until after the new year, we won't get into that. So that rounds out the upcoming schedule, and so we'll close with this. Once again, we're going to turn this into Please Donate Telethon, PBS Donations Week, Pledge Week, whatever you want to call it. Please donate to the Power Play Point podcast. The main site is Blue Liner. That's BLUELINER 77.podbean.com, PODBEAN. There is a donate link. You can donate to our PayPal account there. We do have some upcoming expenses that need to be dealt with, so any and all help that you can provide would dearly, dearly love and appreciate you for. If you wish to donate through any alternate means, I can be reached at glhallowed@yahoo.com. Send me an email. We'll work out something. But yet again, please, 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 whatever you feel like donating will be a huge help, because there's the cost of storage is one thing, and like I mentioned before, we're looking to get some new equipment so we can more or less, help us take the show on the road. Especially so if you like my new co-host, if you like that young lady's voice, she needs a microphone of her own to be specific, so we can go out on the road and take the show out of the Skype calls that tend to work like a knotted colon sometimes. I jest, of course, but in all seriousness, do please. I mean, even if it's as little as a buck, still. Greatly appreciated. Whatever you feel like donating, please. If you enjoy the show, really love you to show your appreciation. through that. And as they say, the best nation, donation. So that's all I had to say about that.
Oh, God. That's so cheesy. You were good up until the donation.
You never
saw
that movie?
But... No.
No, I guess not.
No. Anyways, so we're closing out.
So, did you have any final thoughts about anything?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think we might have.
No, I think I'm mentally exhausted.
You don't sound it.
I know. I'm just kidding. No, I'm totally fine. I'm ready for the Stars game to start.
Yep. And that'll be starting here in about a half an hour or so. So it's obviously it's December the 19th. The evening of the December the 19th that we're recording this, so hopefully getting that out to you no later than sometime next day. But thanks once again for listening to another edition of the Power Play Point podcast, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes available at Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, and at blueliner77.podbean.com. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conquell.